Das mit dem Wandern ist in diesem Jahr in Alpbach eine echte Challenge. Am Montagvormittag wurden alle geplanten Hikes und Aufstiege zum Gradlspitz aufgrund des starken Regens abgesagt. Wirklich alle? Nein, eine Wandergruppe trotzte wacker, Wind und Wetter, mit Regenponchos und Schirmen. Und es war der Tross, der zum Almtalk der Presse nach Inneralpbach wollte. Ich erspare Ihnen an dieser Stelle aber irgendwelche Bemerkungen zu Standfestigkeit und Zähheit unserer Redaktion. Schauen wir stattdessen in den Herz-Kremenack-Saal. Da war am Montagvormittag der Management-Experte Frederik Laloux zugeschaltet. Der Mann wurde 2015 mit seinem Bestseller Reinventing Organizations ziemlich erfolgreich und gilt seither als Guru der Personalführung. Er diskutierte in einer Session über Changing Mindsets to Deliver a Climate Transition und Changing war schon der Beginn der Einheit. Sie startete nämlich mit einer kurzen Stress-Release-Mediation, was für manche Besucher der Wirtschaftsgespräche ähnlich ungewöhnlich gewesen sein dürfte wie die essbare Installation von Honey und Bunny am Tag davor. Laloux rüttelte jedenfalls einmal mehr alle Anwesenden auf, wie spät dran wir mit dem Change in Sachen Climate Change seien.
And so this has been this focus of mine, like what's wrong with us? Like what's wrong with the human beings? Like why don't we wake up?
Starke Ansagen gibt es und gab es in den letzten Tagen genug. Die Frage ist nur, ob und von wem sie gehört werden.
Presse Play. Was in Alpbach wichtig wird. Tag 8.
In der Folge zu Tag 7 haben wir ja von den vielen Empfängen berichtet, die jetzt wieder in Alpbach steigen. Dazu drei Anmerkungen. Erstens, aufgrund der Covid-Maßnahmen darf auch zu den Partys nur, wer einen negativen PCR-Test vorweisen kann. Ausnahmen gibt's nicht. Das stößt allerdings manchen ziemlich sauer auf. Wir raten, nicht ärgern, gurgeln. Zweitens zeigt sich nach 18 Monaten Pandemie, dass wir alle den lockeren Umgang beim Begrüßen ein wenig verlernt haben. Es gibt Menschen, die ihrem Gegenüber noch immer am liebsten den Ellbogen entgegenstrecken oder sogar nur vornehm nicken. Sehr groß ist die Gruppe der Faustgrüße, die sind auch in unserem Podcast-Team stark vertreten. Doch hier in Alpbach werden auch wieder vermehrt Hände geschüttelt und sogar, oh hallo, Umarmungen ausgeteilt. Und in dieser Gemengelage kommt es da bisweilen zu grotesken Begrüßungs-Verwirrungsposen. Drittens. Alpbach galt seit jeher als Ort, an dem sich die Wichtigen und Mächtigen treffen. Und wichtig waren lange Zeit vor allem die Männer. Das Forum will den Frauenanteil unter Stipendiaten, Teilnehmern und im Präsidium zwar deutlich steigern, aber immer gelingt ihm das nicht, was bisweilen an den Partnern liegt. Seit Sonntagabend fällt auf, dass es Veranstalter gibt, die zu kleineren und größeren Events laden, bei denen mehr als 90% ältere weiße Männer zu Gast sind. Das Gute ist, es fällt den meisten wenigstens mittendrin auf. Ach ja, und apropos Frau. Leider nur online zugeschaltet war die im Exil lebende belarussische Oppositionsführerin Svetlana Tichanowskaja in der Session Reshaping Politics am Montagnachmittag. Und sie sprach da über das vergangene Jahr, in dem sie zur wichtigen Stimme des Widerstandes wurde und die Verhaftung ihres Mannes und die Zukunft ihrer Bewegung.
And I'm speaking here on behalf of millions of Belarusians who have been fighting for democracy for more than a year already. And it has been a challenging year. But our nation learned that the path to democracy is complex and requires a lot of patience, diligence and courage.
Das war eine wirklich fesselnde Stunde geballte Weltpolitik. Noch ein paar Worte zum eingangs erwähnten Wanderpech oder Glück, je nachdem, wie man es nimmt. ÖVP Agrar- und Tourismusministerin Elisabeth Köstinger und EU-Kapitalmarktkommissarin Mairead McGuinness waren Montagvormittag ebenfalls zum Wandern verabredet. Ihren Aufstieg zur Zotteralm, wo sie dann mit jungen Teilnehmern des Forums diskutiert haben, haben sie in der Früh doch lieber mit dem Shuttlebus zurückgelegt. Aber zu Mittag dann wollte McGuinness trotz des Regens unbedingt selbst zu Fuß zurück ins Dorf gehen. Gleich nach ihrer Ankunft in Böglerhof habe ich die beiden Politikerinnen zum kurzen Gespräch getroffen. Mairead McGuinness ist erst seit dem Herbst EU-Kommissarin für Finanzen. Ihr thematisches Steckenpferd ist aber eigentlich ein anderes, nämlich die Landwirtschaft. Und gelernt hat sie auch im Journalismus. Zuerst hat sie beim Irish Independent angefangen und später wurde sie mit einer Farming-Show im irischen öffentlich-rechtlichen Sender RTE bekannt. Danach stieg sie in die Politik, war lange Europaabgeordnete und 2011 hätte sie beinahe für das Amt der irischen Präsidentin kandidiert. Sie ist heute, teils gemeinsam mit Elisabeth Köstinger,
unser Gast des Tages.
Thank you very much for both of you for your time. First of all, I wanted to ask you, how does an expert on agricultural economics and former farming TV star feel in the in an alpine village like that with this weather?
I feel very much at home, both from the point of view of the warmth of the hospitality that we've just enjoyed up in the mountains, for the scenery here, which is amazing, as I said, for the good food, but also the fact that we're able to meet my former, now Minister, Köstinger, who was a good colleague in the European Parliament on the Agriculture Committee, and the rain, you know, falls in Ireland occasionally, so and in Belgium, in Brussels. So I suppose it is good to be here and to have that sense of being at home. The Minister, Ellie, and I had a really good chat on the way down about things that we care about, family, politics, all sorts of things. So, that was a really nice part of today.
There's a topic that both of you are concerned about. There's, on the one hand, there was critique just in May on the plan of your Ministry of Agriculture on the new proposals on common agricultural politics, because some people say they would not achieve the ecological, social and economic goals of the European Green Deal. So how do you react on this criticism, and how did you discuss that too?
Well, look, I think because we both have roots in our rural communities, we understand very well, and farmers today understand that they need to be part of the change. But I have always said the way to make and help people change is encouragement rather than attack. As for reform of the agriculture policy, this is a very complicated area, but it is being reorientated towards achieving those goals around sustainability. And honestly, many of our farmers, and even as I walked down, I could see this, are addressing sustainability already on the ground. Our researchers across Europe have also given guidance to farmers to become more sustainable. And we all have to change. Of course, there are some who say you don't go far enough, but isn't that politics generally? That some want us to go further, others want no change. And we have to find a middle way. And I think with reform of agriculture policy, we shouldn't underestimate the difficulties farmers might face if there's extra bureaucracy, if they lose some payments because of the way the payment system is reorientated. And we need to listen to those concerns.
What do you say to I think the criticism was not really coming from the side of the farmers, it was more coming from like Arbeiterkammer or whatever. What do you say to these concerns?
Well, actually, the criticism was not right. In Austria, we have very small-scale farming. The average farm in Austria is 23 hectares in comparison to other countries in the European Union. We are so small, a lot of mountain areas. Yes, we have always possibilities to improve, and especially the farming sector wants to do it on animal welfare, for example. But then we need also the society, the consumers, who pay a fairer price for the products. Mm-hmm. And if we only always blame the farmers for being responsible for climate change or for whatever, putting pesticides, mm-hmm. using fertilizers, that's only a small part of the picture. The consumers, the societies, the responsibility of buying products is at least that high than the production itself.
Yes, I think we need to value the food that we just have available to us everywhere. COVID, in this crisis, we saw some disruption in supply chains, and I think for the first time we saw in some places where supply was interrupted. So I think we need our farmers. They do more than just produce food, which is fundamental. They manage the landscape. They are the physical presence here always. So in one sense, they are rooted to the land and soil, and they need our support and our understanding. And we underestimate their capacity over time to change. They have evolved. But those that I speak to both here and indeed in the member state I know best and across Europe want to be taken on board, that their concerns are heard, and that where we can, we address them, because they want to be sustainable. I mean, who doesn't want to be sustainable? But they know that this cannot happen overnight. For some, it involves big change. For others, small change. But it will happen over time.
An dieser Stelle haben wir eine kurze Pause gemacht bei unserem Interview im Salon des Büglerhof, denn Ministerin Köstinger musste zum nächsten Termin weiter. Aber Irlands EU-Kommissarin McGuinness, sichtlich gut gelaunt vom Regenwalk, wollte gerne weiterreden, unter anderem über Finanzbildung, ein Thema, um das es auch beim Forum sehr viel ging. In Alpbach ließ sie damit aufhorchen, dass es wichtig sei, Menschen dazu zu motivieren, in Aktien zu investieren, anstatt das Geld auf dem Sparbuch liegen zu lassen.
Here in Alpbach, we talk a lot about the great European transformation, also when it comes to economy, of course. What does Europe and the EU especially have to do here at first?
Okay, well, we call this the European Green Deal. So it is really our growth strategy, our future orientation, and it is about making our economy and our society more sustainable. And then when you pick that apart, you realize that everyone and every sector must change, whether it's energy, whether it's land use, whether it's how we heat our houses, how we construct, how we live. And some see this as a challenge and others as an opportunity. And I see it as absolutely compulsory. And we know because of climate change and the latest reports on climate are very alarming, that if we continue on the path we're on today, the outcome will be really bad. So I've been questioned about how much all this transformation will cost. And in return, I say, yes, if you look at it, it will cost a lot. But you must balance that with the enormous costs of us doing nothing or staying as we are. So what I am here in Alpbach to talk about is how we will reorientate the capital markets to invest in a sustainable future, how we must encourage all of us to get on and to get involved in this transformation. And one way we can do that is more education around financial issues. So financial literacy is absolutely vital, because lots of people may not realize that sometimes their money is invested in many products, but they need to know now that those investments are sustainable and not damaging. And we're giving them the tools, both the investment industry and the companies, as to how they can manage and identify sustainability.
Actually, about financial literacy, I also wanted to ask you, but my question is, how do people learn the use of money? How do you want to do it?
Okay, well, I always say we need to talk about money, because money is fundamental. Every moment of every day, there's some transaction involved. Sometimes we don't know it's happening in our bank accounts. So we therefore need to talk about money at an early age, in schools, at every level, in colleges and in the adult world, because the whole financial system is changing, and changing quite dramatically. Secondly, we need to give people the confidence to ask questions, because part of our education system should be to empower citizens to question everything, including the financial system. So if you go in for a mortgage to buy a house and you're offered a product and you're not sure of the interest rate or the term or what it will mean, you should be able and empowered to ask the question.
Does it need something like a driving license for finance, life?
What we're doing is, with the OECD, working on a framework, literally like what you're suggesting in a way, so that we first identify what are the key ingredients that make up financial literacy. How do we know and measure them? And how do we address those sectors of society and some vulnerable groups, and women in particular, who are not into the frame as much as they should be? So we've a lot of work done already on this, and part of the discussion here is to how we mobilise that at member state level. Now, I fully respect that education is the competence of the member states. So here in Austria, that's for Austria. But I get a great sense that across the member states, there is a realisation that actually financial literacy is like about your health, your well-being. It's about your being able to communicate language-wise. So it's literacy in the financial area. And I made the point that sometimes those who are not financially literate, or indeed those who don't have great literacy skills, are very, almost embarrassed. They feel that they're not engaged and that they therefore don't ask questions. And I want that to change. Because if we don't change that across society, we will not be able to have good public debates about the economy, about finance, about the Green Deal and all of these big pictures.
I think you mentioned also the question how people should invest their money. And I ask myself, if it isn't a arrogant to ask people who can only save a little of their money to invest in more shares instead of the good old savings book?
Well, I think we are not saying what people should do, but we want to make sure that they understand they have choices. So lots of savings are now piled up in banks, and in one sense, with interest rates so low, it could result in better return if it were invested. Mm. And what we're trying to encourage is, I suppose, the mindset of all of us to think about investing for our future. I think the younger generation are really tuning into this because the way that they will work, they may not have a lifetime job, they may change careers along the way. They know they need to look after their pension needs, and they know that if you start early, then you can, you know, make a better future. So in no way would we want to impose any view as to what people do with their money. Money is yours and very precious, and what you do with it is absolutely yours to choose. But I think you can only choose if you have knowledge of us, and that's what we're trying to say here.
And how do you invest your money?
Because I'm the commissioner in this role, of course I made commitments to the parliament that I would not have shares because, you know, I have a very strict mandate here. But I have four children. I encourage them to save and invest. And I encourage them to know that if you spend everything today, there is no tomorrow. So I think I come from, I suppose, from my own background where you had to earn your keep, you had to make your money stretch. And wherever you did that, you always kept some back for saving, but you would invest some as well for the future. So maybe if I wasn't in this role, I would be able much freer to talk about investments. But out of respect for the position I have, I hold my counsel and give no guidance.
But do you have saving books by your
own? Of course, yeah. I think this is, you know, if you come from a farming background, they say you make hay for the rainy days. So you store more in the barn in the good days, so when the rain comes and doesn't stop, you have something to fall back on. Mm. And, you know, even you can invest and have immediate access to some of your investments. So there are different products out there offered on the marketplace which give people choices. And again, this for me is fundamental, that we each have a choice because we have knowledge. I think also the financial system is very engaged in wanting to have a more informed a client, investor, whatever you call it, customer. It makes their job easier, but it also makes us wealthier in the long term. And I think wealth and sustainability have to go hand in hand. You can become wealthy by investing in very unsustainable short term, but you also can invest unwisely and end up with stranded assets. And my last comment, you know, when I say about the changes that are made in all of the sectors, I'm talking also about the financial sector. This sector is really at risk from climate change and biodiversity loss. So it also has to take these issues into account. And it's interesting that more and more we hear members of the banking community, the investment community, doing courses around sustainability, not around just return on investment or share prices, but a more holistic approach to the sustainable landscape. Mm.
Last question. One of the trend topics when it comes to investing is are bitcoins. What is your take on bitcoins? Is that a clever investment?
I don't have enough time to talk about this world which exists, but all I will say here is that we are working within the Commission to ensure that there is appropriate regulation. We need to listen to the younger generation who are already investing in this area, and we need to make sure that that they are aware of the risks and the opportunities where they exist. So it is an area where we are watching very closely.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Was heute in Alpbach wichtig wird.
Die Wirtschaftsgespräche gehen jetzt langsam in die Politikgespräche über. In diesen Tagen gibt es besonders viele Alpbach-Salons. Das sind kleinere Veranstaltungen mit maximal 30 geladenen Gästen. So lädt heute Dienstag Digitalberater Accenture, der, Achtung, Disclaimer, die ersten 5 Folgen des Podcasts finanziell unterstützt hat, zu einem Mittagssalon in den Alpbacher Hof. Unter dem Titel Kick It Like Bezos sprechen Maurizio Poletto von der Erste Group mit Accenture Österreich-Boss Michael Zettel über Platform Economy as the Future of Europe. Spannend wird wohl auch der Auftritt der Chilene Michelle Bachelet. Sie ist die hohe Kommissarin für Menschenrechte der Vereinten Nationen und wird bei Human Security, Human Rights, Fundamental Rights online über Menschenrechte sprechen. Wer selber diskutieren will und den möglichen Regen nicht scheut, Um 10 Uhr geht eine Gruppe von Klimastakeholdern wie Climate Champion Gonzalo Munoz oder Martin Köring von der World Ocean Initiative die Stunde zum Zotterhof hoch. Während der Wanderung wird über das große Feld der nachhaltigen Finanzierung diskutiert. Und Matthias Kormann, OECD-Generalsekretär, spricht hier in Alpbach über neue Wege, um unser Wirtschaftssystem digitaler und grüner aufzustellen. Das war schon Tag 8 unseres Kongresstagebuchs zum Hören. Es verabschieden sich Anna Wallner und Eva Wienreuther. Alle bisherigen Folgen finden Sie unter diepresse.com/alpbach und überall, wo Sie gern Podcasts hören. Zweimal melden wir uns noch um 6 Uhr früh aus dem wirklich unfassbar verregneten Alpbach. Machen Sie es gut!
Wenn Sie noch mehr von der Presse haben wollen, dann besorgen Sie sich ein Abo unserer Zeitung. Gedruckt oder digital Premium. Alle Informationen dazu und einen Bestelllink gibt es unter diepresse.com/abo.